Hello and welcome to The Way I See It. My name is Vanessa Coleman. And today I've just come across an article that it was written in June, back in June, and it was in the New Statesman, and it's John King, and the heading is The Left-Wing Case for Leaving the EU. Supporters of the EU sneer little Englander at those with a different opinion, but most of the arguments against membership are left-leaning and liberal. Despite the denials by our political and media elite, the most important issue of the 2015 election was Britain's membership of the European Union. Nearly 4 million votes went to UKIP, a party that has been consistently abused and dismissed by our controllers, with much of that support coming from former Labour voters, while big numbers of people backed the Little Love Conservatives. Both parties offered referendums on Britain leaving the EU. UKIP powerfully, the Tories reluctantly. It is not hard to work out why they did so well, yet there is still little acknowledgement of this fact from the establishment. An arrogant refusal to listen to the public has left Labour and the Liberal Democrats in tatters. Nick Clegg could moan about identity politics in the election's aftermath, but this matters to the majority of people. Our membership of the EU undermined the major debates and warped most of the policies being put forward in the build-up to the election. The EU will influence the future of the NHS, just as it helped smooth Tory privatisation of the post office and the organisational breakup of the railways. It is in tune with austerity and drives a larger and more deadly version in the Eurozone. It escalates problems linked to housing, work, wages and education, creates worry and stirs up anger and threatens people's sense of self. A lazy acceptance of establishment propaganda and a fear of being branded xenophobic have silenced many liberals and left-wingers, and yet the EU is driven by big business. This is a very corporate coup. It is essential to understand where the EU is heading. The mission? To create a centralised superstate. As the former European Commission President José Manuel Barroso said in 2007, I like to compare the EU as a creation to the organisation of empire. We have the dimension of empire. While there have been idealists involved and progressive laws made along the way, at its core it is undemocratic and distant, a threat to all those living in its shadow. However sweet the propaganda, it is a tool for multinationals, another part of the globalisation process. A majority of the British population is either opposed to or sceptical about our inclusion in the EU. And yet any serious discussion of what it represents and where it is leading is near enough impossible. Instead, we have McCarthy-like campaigns directed at those who have a different vision for Britain and the other member countries. However, decades of pro-EU spin have failed to convince the mass of working people of its worth. The only reason their opposition has been so restrained is the secrecy and speed of the takeover. This has occurred across generations, a slow motion transfer of control driven by the rich and powerful. Our leaders are complicit, know where their future rests. There are careers to protect and promote, fortunes to be made. The feelings of the wider society are ignored. The idea put across by its promoters that the EU is somehow synonymous with Europe is nonsense, and yet this use of language has become commonplace. We are told that to be anti-EU is to be anti-European, But in reality, to oppose the EU makes you pro-European. If Europe is its people and cultures, then it is surely better that France, Greece, Poland, and every other member state becomes a proper democracy again. If the main legacy of the European Enlightenment was the collectivization of political power in the hands of the masses, then the EU model is the antithesis of this, centralizing decision-taking in the hands of an unaccountable technocratic elite. A single European nation suits the US government, its multinationals and its military. One leader is a lot easier to deal with than many. The same goes for a single currency. This is clear in moves by the EU and the US to impose the Transatlantic Trade and Investment Partnership, TTIP, which will allow the corporations of both blocs the chance to exploit each other's markets, smoothing out obstacles in the process. The NHS will be targeted by US healthcare companies and trade union rights threatened. Negotiations to bring in TTIP have been taking place in secret. There is no voting involved, no pretense at democracy, little proper coverage by the media. The main parties are broadly supportive. With TTIP comes the investor state dispute settlement, in other words, ISDS system, whereby business can take governments to court if its profits are infringed upon. This is mind-blowing stuff, but our politicians say nothing. The media tell us that the Tories are anti-EU, while Labour and the Lib Dems are fighting their narrow-mindedness, and UKIP is dismissed as a far-right group bordering on the fascist. This is bubblegum politics. Little Europeans sneer, little Englander, at those with a different opinion, peddling stereotypes, unwilling to consider the bigger arguments. That it was the Conservatives who took Britain into a six-nation EEC in 1973 is dismissed. This was a betrayal of the Commonwealth, which a mere 28 years earlier had fought with us against two of these countries, the then fascist Germany and Italy. Commonwealth economies suffered as a result. Prime Minister Ted Heath insisted that the common market was no more than a trade arrangement. But a large chunk of the population was outraged and saw it for what it was. And Heath would later admit that he had lied about its long-term goal. Labour was socialist at this point, and along with the trade unions, naturally opposed the Tories. Despite some big talk, Margaret Thatcher and John Major did not take us out, while Tony Blair would have joined the Eurozone if he'd had his way. Backing the EU because the Tories are supposedly against it is pathetic. The EU is not a party issue. It is much more important. David Cameron is softly pro-EU, but has been forced into holding a referendum by rebel elements in his party. Ed Miliband was also a firm supporter, his own sceptical backbenchers keeping quiet for fear of being branded right-wing by the Labour Party's thought police. Last year saw the death of two genuinely left-wing figures with a matter of days in Tony Benn and Bob Crowe. These were honest men who refused to bend to the group mind. They were idealists and knew where the EU was leading us. In later life, Benn was patronised as a well-meaning crank when he tried to talk seriously about the EU. Crowe died young, and his dream of a left-wing anti-EU party will be harder to achieve now he is gone. But this is what Britain needs, urgently. The move towards a European state is a long way down the line, and yet even this simple truth is denied by those whose careers are sown into the process. According to House of Commons library search, if one counts regulations as well as directives, half of all UK laws are derived from Brussels, measures that cannot be reversed once passed. But if even one law is made outside Parliament, then that is a huge abuse of power. The EU has a president and a militarised police force in Eurogendfor, is pushing for its own army and has helped stir up the crisis in Ukraine with its expansionism. Its single currency has caused untold misery for tens of millions of working people across Europe. Yet there is no apology, just an arrogant demand for greater powers. The Greeks are branded lazy and forced to cut services in return for more loans. If there's a referendum on our EU membership in this new parliament, the propaganda unleashed by the establishment will be unparalleled. From The Guardian to The Times, from the BBC to Rupert Murdoch, our masters will close ranks as withdrawal is deemed a disaster. But would Britain be damaged? For a start, we would save roughly £10 billion a year in our net handout to the EU. This is a huge sum, which if used properly would benefit those who actually pay these taxes. The idea that our neighbours would no longer trade with us is simply untrue. Trade would continue and we would be able to deal with the rest of the world more freely. Only about 15% of British GDP is accounted for by our exports to the rest of the EU. And this percentage is falling as the Eurozone stagnates. The future for Britain lies in building ever better trade relations with the economically expanding parts of the world, such as the Commonwealth countries. Britain would be liberated. Most of the arguments against EU membership are left-leaning and liberal. UKIP has done so well because it tells the truth about the EU, even if some of its tactics and emphasis put people off. That it can pull in Labour voters despite its Thatcherite, non-patriotic economics is revealing. Just as depressing has been the cowardice of the so-called independent parties, the Greens, the SNP and Plaid Cymru, exist to promote localism and the devolution of power. Yet they refuse to challenge an EU that is about the centralising of power. The Scottish referendum quickly became about money rather than identity. Yet few talk seriously about the madness of a standalone Scotland re-entering the EU as a new applicant and adopting the euro. Why would the SNP want to gain independence and then hand it over to a larger, more remote body where it would have less say than now in how it runs its own affairs? Why would it want to have even less control of its economy? You have only to look at Sinn Féin's attempts to keep Ireland out of the euro for a comparison. The whole debate about Scotland leaving UK seems pretty pointless if the SNP's willingness to join the EU isn't challenged. If Scotland had its own currency and rejected Brussels, it would make sense. But leave the UK and join the EU instead? Open borders are essential to the EU's single state. It makes for a more mobile, often cheaper workforce on one level, allows business and the wealthy easy access on another. It will also change voting patterns, as there will come a point when elections are going to be open to whoever lives in a country at a given time. There has always been movement of people, and there always will be. Leaving the EU will not stop this. Just take us away from the fortress Europe model. UKIP targets poorer workers, warning of the threat to working class jobs and wages in the same way certain trade unions do. But it ignores high-end immigration and the negative effect this has had on the lives of the everyday person, especially in and around London. This probably hindered the party in last month's election, limiting the swing from Labour. Everything we have has been put up for sale, and the rich and powerful of the world are making a fortune at our expense. House prices are driven up and new properties sold as investments rather than homes. In large areas of London, local people have been driven out, their culture erased. This creates huge ripples that spread through the rest of the country. It is natural to feel angry at this unfairness. We are continually told that Britain's muted opposition to the EU is somehow a quirk that shows us to be intolerant. But we are one of the most open-minded countries in the world, and the idea that every European is happy being in the EU is untrue. Most are resigned, feel more powerless and despondent than we do. The need for a left-wing opposition to the EU should be taken care of by the Labour Party, but it lost its nerve when Thatcher was in power, along with elements in the trade union movement, selling its soul to Brussels in return for some positive legislation. Then it was hijacked and turned into New Labour. Its collapse in the election is a continuation of this thread. Too many voters see it as hypocritical, unpatriotic, politically correct, and in the hands of an aloof, wealthy clique. Most important in all this is people's sense of identity. This is seldom mentioned by anyone with a public voice, perhaps for fear of being branded racist. The less you have, maybe the more your identity matters. And the powerful elite do not have the right to sell this off to the EU or anyone else. Our controllers tucked away in their big houses, worshipping money either openly or from behind their fake liberal lectures, do not understand or care about this. And yet it is in the mass population that the real integration has always occurred. Where diversity isn't measured by the colour of your skin. This is ongoing, part of the British tradition. It is no shame to want to preserve your culture. During this year's election campaign, Tony Blair argued that the people should not be given the chance to vote in an EU referendum because, in effect, we could not be trusted to make the sensible choice. His elitist questioning of the intelligence of the electorate is no different from those 19th century reactionary Tories who argued on similar grounds that the franchise should not be extended to women and the working class. Most within our political and media classes and big business seem to think the same way as Blair, want the EU issue sidelines, ruled off limits for a democratic debate. The EU offers us little. It costs billions to belong to a club that interferes in our affairs and has created needless divisions, one that will ultimately lead to our removal from the map. If a European superstate is achieved, the resentment and anger will flow through the centuries to come, creating resistant movements right across the continent. Leaving the EU would save Britain money that could, in the right hands, be ploughed back into the public sector to safeguard jobs and services. And yet, nearly every mainstream politician lifts his nose in the air and turns away, embarrassed at ideas he considers crass. Across the world, people are fighting to be more independent, not less so. They crave democracy and accountability, want to see their identities and cultures live on. The European is not new and it is not progressive, its trail winding back to the Roman Empire. Britain needs to look to the future. And that is the end of this article by John King, which I thought was absolutely brilliant. Anyway, I am part of the Dorset Out campaign and involved with any Out campaign. And I look forward to your feedback, comments. So please don't hesitate to get in touch. And in the meantime, just have a great day. And thanks for now. Bye.